All right, so with that, let's talk a little bit about our presenter, Peter Bell. Peter's the CEO and CTO of SystemsForge, which he describes as helping web designers increase their profits and build a residual income, which we all like, by generating custom web applications in minutes. Not, sorry, something got cut off, Peter, so you can clarify. I suppose that's not hours or days or weeks. So anyway, more about that at systemsforge.com. So Peter is an experienced entrepreneur and software architect. He's been in the business for 15 years. And he lectures and blogs extensively on application generation and CF design patterns. You can learn more about him at pbell.com, where he runs a popular, well-read blog. And with that, we'll turn things over to Peter now. Thanks again for coming, Peter.
Ali, thank you very much for inviting me. So today what I want to do is just give a brief overview of some of the things I'll be covering at the class for practical code generation. But as Charlie said, it's not a really so much a sales pitch. What I'm going to try and do is focus on some of the high points, and even if you don't attend the class, some of the key issues you should be looking at when you start to look to generate code. At SystemsForge, we've been generating code now for the last 5 years or so. Basically, I was getting far too lazy to write web applications by hand, so I was looking for a way to generate the applications quickly and more cost-effectively. And the big problem we kept on running into was we were dealing with a lot of small to mid-sized business clients, and so there was a real issue with being able to provide the functionality they wanted at the price point they could afford. To give you an idea, we will go into a project where somebody wants a custom e-commerce site with some inventory functionality, perhaps tying in with a back-end system. They need a newsletter system, discussion board, and we would generate an entire application for that, typically for $3,000 or $4,000. We have partners do all the graphic design, the project management, so that will typically get marked up into a $20,000 or $30,000 project. But clearly, we had to create a fairly efficient system to allow us to create that kind of functionality at that. So without further ado, now that you can actually see the desktop, let's take full advantage of that and get into the slide deck as quick as we can. So here's what I'm going to be covering in the next 20 minutes or so. Firstly, why bother generating at all? What's this whole code generation thing about, and why might you be interested in it? Then I'm going to look at some of the approaches to generation, some of the different ways you can solve the problem. From there, what I'm going to do is go through what I call the anatomy of a generator. There are lots of commercial code generators out there. There are lots of open source code generators, and it's fairly straightforward to build your own. The important thing is to understand the different elements you require to generate an entire application, so then you can decide what to write, what to use, and how it fits into the overall picture. One of the biggest issues that you run into when you start generating code is you always need to tweak things a little bit, and typically it doesn't make sense to generate 100% of most code bases. So it's important to look at some of the different ways you can extend generated code. There are lots of solutions to that problem. Some have been proven to be better than others over the last few years. And then I want to take just a couple of minutes at the end and look at the difference between frameworks and code generation. Not necessarily a specific framework like a Model Glue or Mark II, but the idea that there are two different ways of solving the code generation problem. One is by actually generating code, and the other is by writing more flexible code that interprets your higher level models. And I'm going to look at quickly at some of the pros and cons of that. Then some hints and tips on getting started, and I'll open things up for questions, hopefully right around 1 o'clock. Typically, two groups of people, two groups of use cases for generating applications. I come across people who want to generate code who are only ever going to work on one piece of software. They're working in a company, they've got a large application, and their job, along with the team of developers, is to maintain that application. I also come across people who are in a case like mine, where they're responsible for building lots of web applications. They might build 3 or 4 a year, they might build 30 or 40 a year, and they're looking to leverage some of the work they've done in previous applications to build new ones more quickly and cost-effectively. So within applications, I've taken an example here. Whether you're using object-oriented programming or not, you've probably at some point in time had a bunch of pieces of code that kind of look like each other. In this case, I've got two very simple queries to a get-by property. You're getting a user based on their email address, and you're getting a product based upon its ID. they're both kind of the same thing. And as you start building large applications with 50 or 100 different business objects, you've got users, articles, products, categories, product attributes, attribute options, discussion threads, discussion messages, groups, roles, permissions. As all of these things grow up, you end up with a lot of boilerplate code doing very similar things, which is fine until, of course, your boss comes along and says, now we'd like to version all of our database access. And suddenly you've got to dig out all of your queries on all of these different applications and figure out, how the heck am I going to insert versioning or auditing or rollback into this huge, you know, hundreds of thousands of lines code base? So even if you've only ever building one application, there can still be a really good place for considering generating the code within that application, because if you were generating this code, you could look for the similarities, create a template to generate it from, and when your boss comes in and says you need versioning, at least you've only got to change a couple of templates rather than having to rebuild hundreds or thousands of class files. And then there's between applications, and anyone who's responsible for building a lot of web applications will be cognizant of the fact you see that you're building similar things time after time. Most developers, it's always with a twist, but often you need some kind of content management functionality. Perhaps you build e-commerce of some kind. Perhaps people need the ability to send newsletter blasts or email notifications. Might not even be an external, a vertical function like that. It could be something like workflows. Whether you're doing e-commerce or document management, both of them often need workflow systems built in. Wouldn't it be great if there was some way you could effectively have your own kind of workflow engine so that you didn't have to code that stuff from scratch? Main approaches to generating applications: concatenation and templating. Concatenation was how I started code generation back in about 2001-2002, and basically the idea is all we're really trying to do here is we're trying to build up those earlier slides. We're trying to say it would be great if we could do this get user by email and get product by ID in a kind of generalized way. So we want some way of creating these scripts programmatically. And here's an example concatenation doing that, where you're building this string, this script HTML, and you're just putting some static stuff, cf query name equals whatever, and then some variables, the object name and the filter field name. So this would become get user by email address right along here. And then you can kind of keep building it up, and so it would generate you this code here at the bottom. This approach is fine, but if you look at the top half of it and you want to try and just see in your mind's eye how that code works, it's extremely difficult to look at this top part of the screen and see what it generates. So as your application gets larger, concatenation for creating entire applications becomes pretty difficult to do. The other approach is some kind of templating approach, because if we're trying to get this thing at the bottom, if we could have some way of describing it where we could put these variables in and we could then make it generate from the template, that's actually a lot easier to do because it takes a little bit of looking at, but if you squint at it just in a certain way, it's not that hard to see that the thing at the top has some kind of relationship to the code it was generating. So it's a little easier when you try and work and maintain with these templates, because obviously the big thing with anything you do, maintenance is usually more important than the time it takes to get going in the first place, because you typically spend most of the time and energy on an application making changes in the initial phases and then maintaining it down the line. Other uses for concatenation: if you've got an application where it's almost all variable stuff and you've just got a few characters, you know, a very small example of concatenation, if you've ever tried to put together a page that allows someone to page through a record set, you know, they want to see 200 products, 20 at a time. If you've ever tried to create those, you know, page one, page two, page three links, often concatenation is an easy way to do that because most of the information there is variable. But when you're trying to generate entire scripts, often a lot of the information is fixed and you just want to drop some variables in. So you're going to find that templating is often an easier approach to work with. It's a lot easier to get started with because it's something that we already do. We already generate. The thing about, it always interests me when I see people in the Code Fusion world going out to use technologies like XSLT for code generation. Great technologies and they have a lot of uses, but we've already got a templating language. It's called CodeFusion. If we look at the top here, if we were generating HTML, we'd be very comfortable with this idea. You don't build, if you've got 100 products in your system, you don't build 100 HTML pages anymore. You would generate that information using CodeFusion, pulling the information from the database and generating the HTML on the file. So that's generating HTML, but really generating CodeFusion scripts is doing the same thing. We've got to have some way, see this CF output. This is saying at generation time, these double angle brackets, which I'll come to in a moment, are saying, okay, so run this. But basically what we want to do is we want to generate this CF output query equals get object name. So the object name might be user. So this is CF output query, get object, data sources scratch, and then it's going to loop through the field names for that object, displaying them all. So this would be a generalized generator for outputting all of the properties of a given object. So this could be outputting from get product and putting price equals this and description equals that. More about the anatomy of a generator, what it takes to actually generate an application and what the pieces are. And I'm going to try and cover all of the core pieces of theory in these 20 minutes because there's not that much theory to it. But I think you're going to find the purpose of the reason I actually agreed to do a one-day class was to actually be able to sit down, get our laptops open, and actually play with this and generate applications. Because it's a little like trying to learn a programming language by watching a seminar. Sometimes you just have to get your fingers on the keyboard and play with it. But hopefully this will give a sense of the concepts. You can either play with it at home or you can play with it in the course. Only really four things you need to generate a web application or any other application. You need some kind of source of the metadata, the stuff that you're going to generate from. So you need to know if you're going to generate a data access object for all of your business objects, you need to know what are your business objects and what properties do they have and what are their relationships. All that kind of stuff is the metadata that we're going to be putting into the generator to get our output scripts. Then you need some kind of template. You actually need something to say, this is what a DAO looks like, or this is what a getter or a setter or a validation routine or a screen looks like, and just put these variables in here to make it work for this particular business object or screen. You also need an iterator and an orchestrator, and I'm going to actually just break this down and run you through each one of the sets. Firstly, we need the metadata. This is the data that we're going to put in. It's kind of like when you were generating HTML pages. You might have pulled product information from a database that you then put into the HTML and spit out to the browser. Well, that would have been the metadata in the case of the HTML page. The metadata there was the price and the title of the products. In our case, it'll probably be information about objects and properties and relationships and validations, but the idea of metadata is still the same. It's that information that we're going to put into our templates to generate our scripts. And the interesting thing is that it really doesn't matter what structure that metadata is in. I've got three examples here, which in the first case, I'm just building up a struct in CodeFusion where you've got this user struct and it's got a title called user and it's got these attributes with names like first name. Or I could do kind of an XML-y style or even a formal XML document that would include that. Or I can even come up with my own syntax if I find the XML a little more verbose than I want to work with. Doesn't really matter. There are strengths and weaknesses to each approach. But the important thing is to understand however you get it, you need some form of metadata. And it's important to understand that each one of these three things is basically saying the same thing, just in different ways. Because that gives you a lot of flexibility, because then you realize you don't have to use XML. You don't have to write a parser. You could use a struct. You can use methods. There's lots of different ways of solving this problem. And again, I'll be going through that a little more. In terms of templating then, there's lots of templating solutions out there. Velocity is real popular in Java world, XSLT, a lot of code generation are used. But I've actually proposing something called CF Template. And it's basically saying, you know what, CodeFusion's been a great language for us to generate HTML, and we use it to generate scripts as well. Really, you can actually use CodeFusion. If you wanted to generate Ruby or Python or Java, you can actually use CodeFusion out of the box to generate that code. The problem we have is as CodeFusion developers, we're usually looking to generate CodeFusion code. So The only problem we got to solve with this idea of our own templating language, CF template, is some way of allowing the template to distinguish between generation time variables and runtime things. So if we wanted to have something that would generate a bunch of getters so that you've got, you know, a user object that has get first name, get last email address. I don't love that approach, but it's a great example of simple code generation. We could actually create a template that would allow us to pass in, say, you know what, we've got this user, it has a first name, a last name, and an email, and we want to loop over this at generation time with these two tags. It's saying we're going to run this for the generator, and we're going to loop through this property name list, which issues and percent signs instead of hashes, and for each of these property names, we're going to generate a getter that says get first name return type string return this dot first name. Then it's going to create another one of these, and it's going to create a CF function get last name return type string return this dot last, so on. So you have to choose a templating language. There are strengths and weaknesses between you'll probably be looking between XSLT and something like CF template in the Cold Fusion world. And the template there generated this. So you get your three getters spat out from this kind of CF template code. In CF template, just very briefly, the idea is that we just want to distinguish the stuff that you need to run at generation time. When you're saying, look, I want to actually loop through while I'm generating this, and for each one of these property names, I want to create a getter, so I end up with this, three of them. But this CF function, this isn't generation time. I don't want to run, I have my CF function in my generated code. So CF template just does very simple things. It just replaces double angle brackets with single for generation time, percentages versus hash, and then you have all of the Cold Fusion features available, including CF script. And it's actually quite a powerful way for Cold Fusion developers to focus on what they want to generate rather than learning a whole other language to do their code. To me, it's a little more readable. I'm just going to give you an example and let it speak for itself. Here's a sample XSLT for generating something, and here's the equivalent in CF template. They're both valid. There's lots of really good reasons to use XSLT, but I'm just too lazy to type this, and I find a really hard time with all these ampersand less than, ampersand greater thans. I find it much easier to look at something like this and understand what's going on. We'll primarily be focused on CF template in the class, but if anyone has a background in XSLT or wants to talk about that a little more, we will go through that as well. So we talked about metadata, which is the information you want to stick in, and the templates, which says how to take that information and display. Just like in the old days, you're displaying HTML, you want to take the product information from the database, just put it into your Cold Fusion template, and generate the HTML from that. So you have the metadata, you have the templates. Next thing you really need is an iterator, because you almost always want to generate a set of scripts. You want, for every business object, for your user, for your product, for your article, all of them need a DAO. Or you might have some kind of language for describing screens in your applications to generate list screens and detail screens and edit screens. So you might want one template generated per screen. You might even have custom data types or validations you want to generate. But still, it's that idea, I've got this collection of things and I want one script generated for each. Easiest example, I want a user DAO, product DAO, and object information, the metadata, and my DAO template. And sometimes you need filter support. A good example of that would be, let's say you've got 70 business objects, but 20 of them are pure virtual objects. They don't persist in the database at all. They're all calculated. You would only want a DAO per business object that has at least one prop assisted to the database. You might need some kind of filter. And then finally, the orchestrator. It's the idea, okay, so if I wanted to generate an entire application, what do I need to do? Well, when I first started this a long time ago, I wrote a little generator that would generate all my DAOs. Then I wrote another one that would generate all of my, well, actually back then it was procedural, so one was for my forms, and one was for my views, and one was for my queries. But I had all of these little generators, and I noticed they were kind of doing the same thing. They're saying, you know what? Each of these generators needs to get some kind of metadata, some kind of template. It needs to iterate over some kind of collection, and it needs to store it to some kind of file name. So for instance, if we wanted to generate all of our DAOs, we really don't need custom code to do that. All we need to do is have some way of saying How do we get all the metadata for all my objects? We need to have some kind of CF template or XSLT, which has the DAO, so we know how to lay it out. We need to describe the iterator. In this case, maybe it's for every business object or for every business object that gets saved to a database. And then we need a file naming convention that uses a variable from here, because obviously if we need it to be user-dao.cfc and article-dao, so in general it's the object name dao.cfc. And the way that I certainly generate this is I just describe each one of these collections of things as a row in a database table. So if I want to have this really complex generator that generates hundreds of different types of files and that generates thousands of scripts, all I need to do is just put a bunch of information into one database table, and my in-house generator just loops through that. It says for each generator, do the iterator, get the metadata, get the template, and spit out the code. So even though this seems very simple, with these four pieces, the data you need, the set of templates and some kind of language to write them in, an iterator, because one script is never enough. You need a collection of DAOs, a collection of service objects, a collection of business objects or validations, or and then an orchestrator to say, okay, first let's create the DAOs, then the service layers, then screens, then these. You can actually use those four pieces to generate pretty much any application. In the class, I'll be going into a little more detail, and I'll be releasing something called CFGen, which will be a general purpose generator to take care of the plumbing for all of this. So you're still going to have to think about how and what you want to generate, but it's going to give you all of the tooling so you can focus on your templates and your metadata rather than worrying about how you're actually going to generate it. As soon as you've generated code, you need to extend it. What happens in practice is someone will come along and say, that's great, but we just need it to do this one extra little thing, and there's no real way of describing that one extra little thing in your metadata. There are two ways of solving that problem. One way to solve that problem is to extend your metadata, maybe to give it another property or to extend it in some other ways, which again I'll take a couple hours on in the afternoon, but to actually extend your metadata and to look at how you can make your domain-specific language, your way of describing that metadata, a little richer. Then you have to change your templates, and it's a process, and unfortunately, usually when we need to change our metadata, it's the night before we launch, so we don't always have time to do it, and it isn't always worth the effort. So five of the most common ways of extending your generated code are from the old-fashioned protected blocks, where you have a little script that says, you know, dragons lie here, so in each one of your scripts there's a little area where you can put custom code, and then there's the rest of it. But then you also have the options of inheritance, events, mixins, and ARP. Very quickly, inheritance, have a look at what Doug Hughes did in Reactor, is a great example in the Cold Fusion world. If you want to extend your user DAO because you want to do something a little different that you'd never really thought of, you just have a custom user DAO extends user DAO, and you can use inheritance. And if you've architected your application well, inheritance is one of the best ways of extending generated code because you can still blow away your generated code. All of this is about active code generation. It's about the idea that when your requirements change, you can regenerate the code without losing your changes. Inheritance is one of the easiest and most powerful ways of doing that. But you can also get events to fire off. Microsoft has an interesting thing in its DSL tools where properties fire off events when they change, so you can kind of capture that. You can use mixins. It is either object or class mixins. Again, I'll take a little more time over it, but that's another way of extending classes. And you can also use AOP, aspect-oriented programming. Again, another easy way of pulling out cross-cutting concerns and allowing you to separate generated from custom code. It's important to realize that frameworks and code generation are fundamentally trying to solve the same problem. Because we're not really in the business of generating code. We're in the business of raising the level of abstraction, of saying, how can we describe our intent in less characters in a way that still gives us the expressiveness we need to build the applications that our clients require? Because the less you have to communicate and document and change, the more quickly you can usually build an application. There are broadly two ways of doing this. For all that I'm in the code generation business, I haven't generated code for about 8 months because I was actually playing with writing a framework up to the level of my domain-specific languages, my metadata for describing my applications. And In practice, you can use any combination of framework or code generation to raise the level of abstraction. There are strengths and weaknesses to each, depending upon your use case. Typically, sometimes you run into language limitations when you're trying to write framework code. Sometimes there's an intellectual property issue. Sometimes you just don't want to give away a framework that allows someone to do anything. You'd rather just generate code that solves their specific problem. And sometimes there can be performance differences between the two. But it's once you've got the idea of domain-specific languages and raising the level of abstraction, again, something I'll need more than 20 minutes to cover, you can use... It's like the old programming languages we used to talk about, compiled and interpreted languages. With compiled, it compiled down to assembler in advance. With interpreted, it actually interpreted your higher level language at runtime and just generated the assembly as was required. It's frameworks versus code generation can be seen kind of like interpreting languages versus compiling them. And the nice thing is, once you've got your languages set, your end users really don't care or need to know which approach you're taking. You can often refactor between the two and change the barrier between what's generated and what's dynamically processed without it affecting any of your running application. In terms of getting started, again, there's a whole process. There's a bottom-up process and a top-down. And this is something I'm really going to spend a lot more time on, is actually showing you how you can take the specific code base or collection of problems you're solving today and look at solving those problems either from the top down in terms of looking at requirements and pulling out nouns and verbs and approaches to capturing the variability in the requirements you're dealing with, whether it's on one project or a lot. And then also from the bottom up, where you actually look at your templates and look at the chunks of code where, you know, Control-C and Control-V was overused, where you've got a lot of overlap, and looking at how you can break out those variabilities and similarities into a language that raises. RIA Forge is always a good place for anything Adobe or ColdFusion. There is a project called CF Template at RIA Forge that you can get started with. CF Gen will be up there before the class. I blog about a lot of this at pbel.com, and there are a bunch of other generators, Alludium, Squidhead, and many others that are also worth looking at for their approaches to see what other. With that, I'm actually going to drop back out of this, see if I actually got cut off 20 minutes ago or not, and answer any questions that may come up.
No, you've been fine, Peter. It sounded great the whole time. Great timing. So yeah, let's change to the discussion mode, and anybody has questions, feel free.
So, any questions? Okay, so I'm just going to take the questions as they come in one at a time. Is code gen mainly limited to CRUD? The short answer is no. If you look at some industry leaders outside of the ColdFusion space, a great company is MetaEdit, MetaEdit.com. They show great examples of how you can build entire applications in higher level domain-specific languages for embedded systems, for web applications, for workflow, for all kinds of solutions. So no, code generation is about finding a higher level of abstraction for describing a problem domain. It's not limited to CRUD. The interesting thing, though, is that in the ColdFusion world, I would argue that most of what we build is CRUD. Most of it is very smart CRUD with composed objects, validations, transformations, relationships, business rules, and workflows. But as you create domain-specific languages for each one of those areas, I've found that, yes, even though code generation isn't limited to CRUD, I can build fairly rich content management, commerce, workflow, intranet solutions, looking at everything as just rich CRUD. In terms of where would you use inheritance over mixins or vice versa for custom code? That's a real good question. There's no one answer to it. I think the most important thing with extension points, here's the problem we're trying to solve. You really want to get away from protected code blocks because they're a pain unless you like writing your own parser. It's no fun to have to create some kind of script that allows you to have your custom code and your generated code in one file. And that's why a lot of code generators are just passive generators, where they generate code once and then they leave you on your own. That would be fine if requirements never changed, but I'm just not interested in generating a starting point. I want my, you know, if I've got this language for describing validations and transformations and CRUD and workflow and stuff, I don't ever want to have to write code that does that unless it's outside of the bounds of my language. So I tend to use inheritance most of the time. Sometimes I play with mixins. I played with a version of my framework where there were no class files. Pretty much everything was dynamically mixed in at runtime. You can have a lot of fun with things, but on the whole, inheritance is a really good starting point for mixing in generated code, and then you can play with the mixins and AOP and events if and where you need them. In terms of the Model Glue Reactor Code Spring model, this is pretty much agnostic. Model Glue, Reactor, and CodeSpring are actually three sets of domain-specific languages that somewhat raise the level of abstraction, right? If you were using Reactor, it allows you to use less characters to express the intent in terms of what you want to do to save and access your objects. Same with Model Glue. It has a whole language for talking about how controllers and views and the model should tie together. And CodeSpring has a whole language for describing how your beans can be injected into each other and how the properties can be provided to them. So if you were using Model Glue Reactor CodeSpring, what you would do is you would make your domain-specific languages generate, you would actually use CF template or XSLT, it really doesn't matter, to generate the XML as well as to generate some of your code. So code generation is something you can put on top of any existing set of frameworks to raise the level of abstraction still higher. LT, I'm familiar with frameworks. I don't quite get when, how, where code generation is an alternative to frameworks. Let me take what we did in-house. We used to have a code generator, and it would generate a data access object for each one of your business objects and a service layer for each one of your business objects. And it would generate, you could have a method like get expired carts that would select all carts from the database where last updated was more than 30 days ago. You could describe all that in metadata and it would generate all the code. So that would be a code generation approach to doing that. A framework approach to doing that would be to create a base class with a base service and a base DAO, and it would have methods like get by filter, and then you'd be able to tell it, you would actually just be able to generate a very simple line of code that would call against your rich API that would kind of interpret that at runtime. So instead of generating hundreds of queries that looked kind of like each other, you would actually just have a higher level framework that took that same information, that same metadata, just as an API. So I'm not so much comparing code generation to any specific existing framework like Model Glue, as I'm just saying whatever the interface is to your domain specific languages, to your code generation, you can either write templates to turn that into code, or you can actually write an API to consume that. And there are reasons to choose one or the other, depending upon exactly what you're trying to do. In terms of the problem with inheritance, the limitation to extend only one class, yeah. That's a valid reason to look at some of the other techniques. Internally, we are pretty focused on the fact that, you know what, a user DAO, it's a DAO. A product service is a service, and so forth. So what we find is that we find for most of what we're trying to do, we can solve our problems by using inheritance. But if you find that you're in a position where you need multiple inheritance or something like that, a mixins is a good place to go. And if it's a cross-cutting concern that affects a lot of objects and doesn't fit well within your model, you could look at AOP or events. I'm looking at Aaron's latest question. Will CFGen generate, for example, a DAO service for one bean, or can you give it a list of beans? CFGen actually won't generate anything at all. What you've got to do is you've got to decide what your metadata is, what your templates are, what you want to iterate over for each one of your orchestrated steps. So you could add an orchestrated step to CFGen for generating documentation, XML files, Java classes. It doesn't have, you could add something to generate contracts or requirements documents or unit tests. It really doesn't care. The basic principle is that you have metadata with some kind of iterator, you know, for each business object or for each DAO, and a template that you use to generate code, and you'll typically want to orchestrate n of those steps to generate an entire application. And LT, obviously, to solve the interfaces and composition are two ways of solving that problem, but I think in terms of how it relates to code generation, you may be looking at using instead mixins or events to solve the problem of mixing in custom written methods into generated classes. A composition isn't mixins, no, it's the fact that you might have, let's say you want to have a user object that knows how to save itself. You could use a pure active record pattern and actually have a user.save method that knows all about the database, but you might decide instead to inject in a user DAO that is a composed object that takes care of all of the database stuff for you. So that would be an example of composition. And neither of them have to use injection. You can use, I'm seeing that they both depend on injection, you can use, you can put composed objects into a bean without injecting. I don't know why you would. I personally always use a dependency injection framework, but you don't need that. And again, mixins is something you can just write in your code. You can just mix in a method from one class to another, either on an object basis, where you just treat the fact that the function is a first-class citizen. So you can say user.save equals product.save, if you were to do that to pull a save function across from one object to another, or at a class level where you have something I use a lot less, where you'd have a CF include within your CFC to put common methods into, or perhaps to put generated methods into a custom class or vice versa. Okay, so hopefully that answered some of the questions. If anyone is interested in finding out more, please firstly just look at the blog. I speak a lot about these things, there's a lot of background, so I think you'll find a lot of useful resources there for getting started with. If you would like a chance to do this in person, one thing I will say is you're probably better, Charlie, I don't know if you've seen the latest sign-up numbers, but I know that the code generation class was actually a little more popular than I expected, so I'm not sure how many spaces are left, but if you want to sign up sooner, we'd probably beat later. But hope to see some of you at the code generation class. And whatever happens, perhaps at least at CF United, we can grab a beer and answer any other questions you might have.
Awesome. Well, thanks for that, Peter. I'm sure people appreciate very much the information that you've shared. And I just have a couple of concluding thoughts I want to show. So first, again, let's thanks to Peter. And also thanks to Adobe, because they provide us this free Connect session and the ability to record and save the recordings. And again, speaking of the recordings, they'll be posted on the Meetup site and on my UGTV site. I'll do that shortly. Also want to point out that if you're a member of the Meetup, you'll get an email reminding you that you can do an evaluation of how you thought the meeting went. And this one went great. No audio problems, no network problems. We've had a couple of the last couple of weeks. So thank you, Peter, especially for that going so smoothly. Again, if you want to learn more about the conference, that's at cfunited.com. And I'll say finally that the next online CF meetup session will be another CF United preview next Thursday, June 14th. And I won't be here for that one. Ray is going to be your host, and it'll be Patrick Quinn from WebApper speaking on application server analytics. So again, that's next Thursday, same time, same channel. And until then, that's it. Until next time, this is Charlie, and thanks for watching, and we'll see you out and about in the CF community.